Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Bone Talk. My name is Steven Zelikoff. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and we always talk about interesting topics having to do with the musculoskeletal system. Today, we're going to be talking about spinal stenosis. So many of us end up having back pain and leg pains and neck pain and arm pain, and many of us are trying to figure out how to get better, how to treat it. Today, we're very, very lucky. We have Dr. Christian Brotea with us as our guest. Welcome, Dr. Brotea.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Dr. Brotea is head of spine surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and is also a assistant professor at the New York Medical College and operates at many of our regional hospitals. Dr. Brotea is dual trained in a orthopedic as well as a neurosurgical spine program at the Cleveland Clinic and has an incredible amount of experience in managing various type of spine problems, both surgically as well as conservatively. So, Dr. Brotea, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on Bone Talk. So tell us, I mean, people complain oftentimes of pain in their back. It goes down their legs. There's things like sciatica that people often hear about. People hear about spinal stenosis. What should we know about spinal stenosis and sciatica, and how can you differentiate it, and what exactly is it?
So, Steve, well, first of all, thank you for that very nice introduction. So, stenosis is basically narrowing of an opening. And when we're in the case of the spine, when we're talking about the neck or the lower back, lumbar stenosis, for example, is narrowing of the lumbar spine, the spinal canal where you have the nerves that radiate down the legs. So lumbar stenosis is basically pinching or narrowing of the spinal canal, which as it can cause low back pain, as you just mentioned. And the pinching of the nerves in the spinal canal results in pain extending to the legs, what people call sciatica. You can have pain, you can have numbness, you can have tingling. There are a bunch of symptoms that are very common with lumbar stenosis. But in general, as a general sort of a factor, we're talking about stenosis is narrowing of the spinal canal.
Now, as far as, I mean, we're talking now mostly about stenosis, and you're referring primarily to the lumbar spine. Now, the spine has different areas. I mean, if you can just sort of run briefly with us, just for our listening audience, in terms of what the architecture is and the anatomy briefly of the spine, and how, so they can get a better understanding of how it works in terms of the nerve roots and the spine, the vertebrae and the discs and things like that. People talk about disc herniations. If you can just sort of just review that briefly with them, please.
Right. So it's very important to note that stenosis does not involve just the lumbar spine. So the spine extends from basically the head down to the tailbone. And you have cervical spine, which is the neck, thoracic spine, which is the mid-back, and you have the lumbar spine. Well, the spinal canal can be pinched or can be narrow in any one of those portions of the spine. In the lower back, again, that's called lumbar stenosis. But it can also happen in the cervical spine, and that's called cervical stenosis. The way it can manifest, there are a number of symptoms that are associated with it. The reason why the stenosis takes place, since you asked why it's happening, the most common reason why that happens is because of arthritis or degeneration. And there are a number of structures in the spine that can, as a result of arthritis, become thickened. They can bulge out of place. And we're talking about bone spurs, we're talking about disc herniations, we're talking about thickening of the ligaments around the spinal canal, all of which can lead to narrowing of that spinal canal. So if it happens in the cervical spine, for example, and you have a narrow spinal canal, that can cause neck pain, it can cause symptoms radiating to the upper extremities, the arms, numbness, tingling, weakness, pain. If we're talking about the lower back, like we just said before, it can cause back pain extending to the legs, known as sciatica, or numbness, or tingling, or weakness. So the condition is widespread. It can be found in the cervical, thoracic, or lumbar spine.
Now, how common is this? I mean, you mentioned that arthritis can cause this. Are there any congenital or things that people are born with that can lead to this? Is it only just in older people, or do we see it in younger people as well?
So overall, it is very common, and actually it's the most common reason that people have back or neck surgery. It can be the number one reason why it's happening again is because of arthritis, which leads to the changes that we talked about. The other reasons is because some people are born with a narrow canal, spinal canal, and that's called congenital stenosis. So some people are predisposed to having narrowing of the spinal canal because of the way they're born, and those patients usually have symptoms earlier in their lifespan. There are other reasons also. People can develop an infection. They can develop a tumor. Anything that can impinge on the spinal canal, causing narrowing of that spinal canal, that's stenosis. So stenosis is basically a description of the narrowing of the spinal canal, but the causes are multiple. And again, arthritis being the most common.
Now, is this most commonly this in men or in women?
It can happen both men and women. It can happen in kids. We're talking about a congenital cause for the stenosis, it can happen in anybody.
Now, as far as things that sort of act as risk factors to stenosis, I mostly do joint replacement. So my area of expertise is hip and knee arthritis. And one of the things that we find in people with arthritis of the hip and knee is that increased weight can affect it. A previous injury can affect it. There's a genetic component to arthritis. Is it sort of similar in the spine in terms of the risk factors for why people develop arthritis of their spine?
It's actually exactly the same. So when we're talking about the spine, we're talking about different elements of the spine that can be affected, can age, and those include the discs. And that's what causes degenerative disc disease that you hear about. It can affect the joints around the spinal canal. They're called facet joints. It can even affect the bone. All these degenerative changes, again, slowly in time, lead to narrowing of the spinal canal, stenosis, which can become symptomatic in people. There's a genetic component to it as well, like you mentioned. People that are involved in multiple traumas, people that are, have different types of jobs, occupational disease can also lead to stenosis. There are a number of factors that play into it.
Now, we're on the phone today with Dr. Christian Brotea. Dr. Brotea is head of spine surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and is also part of specialty orthopedics in Harrison. So once again, Dr. Brotea, thank you for joining us. So, and again, we're talking about spinal stenosis and back pain. Now, how does a patient or an individual say, we've all had back pain. We've all lifted up a bag of sand or a bag of dog food and twisted, and all of a sudden we have pain in our back, and it's mostly located in the back, and it's really uncomfortable. How do we know whether that's spinal stenosis or if we just tweak the muscle? And when do you sort of need to seek help? And what's your first line of treatment for somebody who may just sort of tweak something in their back?
Well, so the truth is there are a lot of reasons why people can develop back pain. Like you just said, you can do something strenuous. You can lift something. You can twist the wrong way. You can sneeze. You can wake up on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, and have back pain or neck pain. You can basically what can happen is you can strain a muscle. You can strain a ligament. Sometimes if it's something traumatic, you can even break a bone, all of which are painful. Now, the difference between those reasons and stenosis is that stenosis, especially if we're talking about arthritis causing it, stenosis usually sets in time. So there isn't one specific event that that can be attributed to, that the pain can be attributed to. It's just sort of a insidious, slow onset of pain. And that's because the underlying arthritis that's causing the stenosis is painful. Now, typically, people have arthritic pain, but they don't have it constantly. They can have flare-ups of the pain depending on the weather, depending on their activity level, depending on what they do. And when they develop a flare-up, the stenosis causes pinching of the nerves extending to the arms or the legs, and that's when they present with back pain, causing numbness and tingling and weakness or pain down to the legs or the arms. So the difference between just a simple back strain and stenosis, that typically stenosis manifests as pain extending to the legs or arms, depending on where the stenosis is, and sometimes is associated with numbness, pain. So there are a number of things that play into it, into coming up with a diagnosis. And ultimately, the best way to diagnose is with an X-ray or an MRI, some kind of imaging.
Now, you had mentioned before, this is sort of a gradual process. So what are the telltale signs that people should think about before coming to you? You mentioned back pain, but also numbness and tingling. So if they're experiencing numbness or tingling down one or both legs and feeling like a pins and needle feeling going down their legs, then that's probably a good time to go ahead and seek medical attention.
So there are a lot of reasons to seek medical attention when it comes to back pain extending to the arms or legs. Keep in mind that people with stenosis, most of the time, actually don't have symptoms. You can have severe stenosis in your neck and your back and go through months without any symptoms whatsoever. The trick is to sort of keep track of the symptoms, monitor the trends, and if things are getting worse as far as neck and back pain are concerned or symptoms extending to the arms or legs, if you're starting to develop any type of neurologic issues, I'm talking about, again, numbness, tingling, weakness, muscle atrophy, issues with your gait, weakness in your hands, dropping things, dexterity problems. Any of those things are becoming more common or they're trending in the wrong direction. That's something that should prompt somebody to seek medical attention and have it looked at. These are all signs and symptoms of stenosis, among other things, which is why you basically need a professional to take a look, obtain the appropriate imaging, perform the appropriate exam, and determine the cause of these symptoms. And if we're talking about neck or back issues, then probably seeing a spine surgeon or a spine specialist would be a good idea.
So if somebody were to call you at Specialty Orthopedics and met with you, what are the things that they would be sort of expecting on that initial visit in terms of the examination, in terms of the imaging studies that they would be getting? And what's your initial strategy when you first see these patients?
So the most important thing is actually listening to the patient and trying to establish a pattern of their pain, trying to establish a trend, like I just mentioned. So obtaining a proper history of the illness of the presentation. The second most important thing is performing a physical examination. So that's what we're looking for, what we just mentioned before, the numbness, the weakness, reflexes would be tested. So we have to perform a thorough examination, neurologic exam, to find any neurologic deficits. The third thing is usually imaging. So an X-ray a lot of times can help determine the presence of any fractures, the extent of arthritis, which again is the most common reason why people have stenosis. But an MRI or a CT scan would be a lot more useful at determining the actual underlying pathology. So looking at the degree of arthritis that's causing the stenosis, or rule out other possible causes of stenosis, like we talked about before, an unlikely thing as it would be a tumor or a fracture or an infection and other unlikely things. So once you put all these things together and you establish a diagnosis, then you can come up with a treatment plan. Now you ask, what's the most common treatment? And the truth is, as I mentioned before, people can have stenosis on imaging and they can present with symptoms, but a lot of times they're not symptomatic. So the idea when we treat stenosis is to help patients with the symptoms. So that's the first thing. And the way we do that is with physical therapy or chiropractic care, with sending them for acupuncture, sometimes with medications if the symptoms are more severe, anti-inflammatory medications, the muscle relaxer, all of which can help mitigate the symptoms and get the patient back to baseline. About 10-15% of patients, they don't get better. And that's where we have to look at other options. So if it's, for example, arthritis causing the pinching of the spinal canal or the stenosis, we can look at the option of surgery. If it's something else that's more dramatic, like a tumor or an infection, then obviously that would also involve surgery. But it's very important to, again, establish the history, determine the trends of the symptoms, help the patient through those initial, through that initial presentation, and most of the time they get better and they can get back to baseline.
Now, you mentioned anti-inflammatories and things of that nature. I mean, one of the things that I tend to find in treating patients with arthritis is that they often take a lot of Advil, a lot of ibuprofen, things like that. And all these things have side effects. I mean, I think that a lot of these anti-inflammatories can lead to ulcers, they lead to high blood pressure, so that there is a lot of side effects with them as well. So we try not to keep people on anti-inflammatories for very long. When do you recommend things like pain management and cortisone injections in the back? People often talk about going for shots in their spine, like epidurals and things like that, and injections around the back. When do you recommend that for arthritis of the spine, either on the cervical or the lumbar region?
So overall, pain management is one of the most common ways we treat symptomatic stenosis. Keep in mind, like I just said, some people can have severe stenosis or an MRI or imaging and have no symptoms. And the reason we think that they do have symptoms when they have them is because of inflammation, which is why anti-inflammatory medications can be so helpful. But like with anything else, there are side effects. So an anti-inflammatory medication for a few days, if you have no contraindications, or a week or two may be helpful. And 80% of the time, it can get the patient back to their usual self. But if we're talking about somebody with a consistent pattern of pain, symptoms that lasted for more than a couple weeks, or if the symptoms are debilitating, so we're talking about barely able to get up from a chair, laying down, getting up from a laying down position, if the symptoms are intractable, they're not responding to physical therapy or anti-inflammatory medication, that's where an epidural injection can help. So an epidural injection or a steroid injection is basically a small amount of steroid, an anti-inflammatory, that's administered right where the pinching is and presumably where the inflammation is. And the steroid calms down that inflammation, which, again, leads to pain relief. So most patients find injections useful when they've had symptoms for a while and they're not responding to other conservative treatments.
Now, I'm on the phone today with Dr. Christian Brotea of Specialty Orthopedics, who's head of the spine service at Montefiore New Rochelle. When they've tried epidurals and things haven't worked, and surgery is indicated, obviously the one thing you need to find somebody who has a lot of experience in spine surgery and does a lot of this. But when you sort of decide how you treat patients, tell us a little bit about the surgery involved in treating spinal stenosis, either of the neck or of the lumbar spine.
So the most important thing with surgery is making sure that the patient actually needs surgery. So, if they're having intractable symptoms, the pain is severe and doesn't respond to conservative treatment options like we talked about, if they're having neurologic deficits, and we're talking about weakness, numbness, muscle atrophy, if they're having, in the case of a cervical or neck stenosis, they're having difficulties with their gait, they're losing their balance, they're having dexterity problems. So if they're symptomatic beyond just occasional pain, and we're talking about neurologic deficits, those patients are surgery candidates. Now, the idea of surgery is very simple. It's to correct or fix the pinching part of the aspect of the stenosis. So in the case of lumbar stenosis, what we commonly do is perform a small laminectomy, which is shaving of the bone, just enough to open up the spinal canal, relieve the pressure on the nerves. Sometimes we have to stabilize things, and that may involve a fusion. But the basic idea of surgery is to go through a small incision, shave off the bone, shave off the disc, or whatever else is causing the pinching of the canal, and basically get the patient rehabilitated. Rehabilitation depends on the amount of surgery that needs to be performed. Typically, most patients are in the hospital for a day or two. They're up out of bed the next morning. They start pursuing physical therapy right away, and they get going. So overall, from a surgical perspective, if the surgery is performed for the right reasons, people do really well, and they're very happy.
Now, I've heard some of your patients that in the recovery room, they wake up saying that their symptoms are gone. They feel like the pinch from the surgery, but that feeling that they had before the surgery is gone as quickly as even in the recovery room after surgery.
Right. So the idea is to wait when somebody presents with symptoms and they are surgical candidates. The idea is to wait long enough to see if they get better on their own with the conservative treatment options, and if not, operate and fix the problem. Because if the problem is not operated on and you leave the stenosis or the severe pinching in place, ultimately what happens is people develop nerve damage. And nerve damage is irreversible. So patients that you get to early enough and you get to fix the problem early enough, they get almost immediate relief of the symptoms. Patients that you hear about, patients that don't do well with surgery, patients that have had symptoms for a long time, they delay surgery for a lot of reasons, personal reasons, medical reasons, for whatever reasons, those patients tend to not do as well with surgery because those nerves that have been severely pinched for a while become chronically and irreversibly damaged. So that's why you sort of have to follow this closely from my perspective. And if patients are not doing well with conservative treatment and they're debilitated by the symptoms, the idea is to go ahead and fix it right away and they'll get better right away.
Now, when somebody's had spine surgery, obviously everybody keeps hearing about minimally invasive surgery and rapid recuperation. What's the typical recuperation time that patients can expect? Or is it just vary from patient to patient and what they have done?
Again, most commonly with the small area of decompression or unpinching of the spinal canal that needs to be performed, most people are in the hospital for a day or two. Sometimes if we're talking about a disc herniation causing stenosis and they undergo a minimally invasive microdiscectomy, they can even go home the same day or just the following morning. So rarely patients have to be in a hospital setting for more than 2-3 days. Most of them, they don't even need rehabilitation or rehab. They can just pursue outpatient physical therapy after the surgery. So they're up and about right away, and they're moving.
Well, that's very hopeful. I mean, I know that, you know, it's back pathology and back problems are such an endemic issue with patients all over, and I think we all have sort of suffered from it to some extent. But it sounds like if people do have chronic issues and there's something that isn't getting better, that there's hope. In terms of getting back to a reasonable lifestyle. Now, in terms of reaching out to you, what's the best thing you had to have, like your website, or is there any information that you'd like to share for patients in terms of where they can reach you to be able to get some more information to possibly see you?
Yeah, so again, if anybody needs to be looked at from a back or neck perspective for something that may have to do with stenosis, or we're talking about just symptoms, intractable pain, numbness, tingling, or weakness. The idea is to have a specialist take a look and establish a diagnosis. And you can call us. You can find us at specialtyorthony.com. You can call us at 914-686-0111 and ask for a spine specialist. And that case would be me, Christian Brotea. Or you can email us, and the email addresses are on the website. So, if anybody has any questions or they need to reach out to us, there are multiple ways to do it.
And you also have a lot of good information on the website as well how to address spine pathology and spine issues and exercises that people can sort of pursue to try to get their core and their back stronger as well.
That's correct.
So, again, I just wanted to thank Dr. Christian Brotea for joining us on Bone Talk and being able to give us some really, really good information on treating spinal stenosis and narrowing of the spine. Again, I think that the take-home point here is that if you have an acute lower back issue, anti-inflammatories, ice, physical therapy, all that works really well. But when symptoms don't go away and they're not better, or more importantly, when you have tingling and numbness and weakness, or problems with bowel or bladder function where you can't control your bladder for whatever reason, that's all of a sudden changing, please seek out medical attention. Seek out a spine specialist because these are things that can be made better. But if you just let them go, what happens is the nerves really do become more compromised. The muscles become more compromised, and it becomes much harder to treat as time goes by. So, again, I'd like to thank Dr. Christian Brotea for joining us on Bone Talk. I'm Dr. Steven Zelikoff. thank you again. Hope everybody had an amazing Father's Day. And thanks again. And see you next month on Bone Talk.